Advent as told by the Virgin. 6 months after her betrothal to Joseph, in the spring of the year when the rains had passed and the ground was green, Mary sought a little privacy by climbing the slopes above the village. She had never been truly alone since her betrothal, when everyone in Nazareth declared her a woman and began to watch her as if she were a child again. She sat down on the edge of the hill, excited, scared, happy, and sad. She bowed her head, buried her face in her arms, and wept. Suddenly, a hand seized her shoulder in a very strong grip. In the same instant, thunder crashed at her ear. She jumped and would have tumbled from the cliff, but for the hand that held her. The thunder said,
"Hail!"
Mary opened her eyes, terrified. There was no one there. No one. No person. No hand at all. But a dazzling pillar of light, its base upon the hill, its pinnacle endless in the heavens. The light said,
"Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you."
Mary gaped, withdrawing from the radiance by pushing backward on the earth.
"Don't be afraid, Mary."
The light said, "Mary." It called her by name. She paused. She leaned forward and peered into the illumination as though it were glass and had depth. And then it seemed to her that she saw a human figure, magnificent in size, smooth in proportion, a face attentive and looking back at her. The face said, "Mary."
"Oh, my Lord, it is your angel."
The angel said,
"Mary, you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be the Son of the Most High. To him will the Lord God give the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever."
Mary, altogether unconscious of herself, Mary on her hands and knees, gazing upward into the primal light, her body casting no shadow whatsoever, though her face was warmed by the light, said,
"No, I think this cannot be, because I am a virgin. I have never known a man."
But the angel said,
"The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God."
There seemed then to be a dimming of the light, as though the heavenly pillar were resolving itself into a white cloud. Yet the angel was still speaking.
"Mary, go see for yourself that nothing is impossible with God. Visit your kinswoman Elizabeth, who is very old. She too has conceived a son. This is the sixth month with her, who was called barren."
Mary whispered,
"I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it happen to me according to your word."
Early one evening, Elizabeth heard a rapping on her door. Since Zechariah didn't hear the knock, he wouldn't have heard a hammer on his anvil or thunder in the heavens. Ever since the night of his vision of angels, he was without speech or hearing. So Elizabeth opened the door. There stood her nephew's child, Jehoiachin's little girl, whom she hadn't seen in years.
"Mary,"
Elizabeth cried.
"Pretty Mary, it's you. But you are not alone."
This was no common visit. Mary was not a child anymore. Her dark brows were lifted in an intense appeal, her eyes filled with beseeching. Clearly, she had come with a purpose. Then several things happened so swiftly that they were all one thing, and that thing was the revelation of God. Immediately, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped up to her heart, and Elizabeth shrieked. Suddenly, she understood everything: the child inside her, the reason for Mary's appearing, the glory of the days in which they were living, the great thing God was doing.
Oh, Mary,
cried Elizabeth, and she grabbed her young niece by both arms and pulled her into the house.
Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. What a gift has been given to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me.
You know about me?
Mary, I know what child is in you right now. As soon as you spoke to me, the babe in my own womb jumped for joy. And that was a prophecy. Oh, sweetheart, blessed are you to have believed that the Lord fulfilled the word he spoke to you.
My soul glorified the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation.
That mercy extends to us, to all, from generation to generation, for he has been mindful of us too. And though no angel has spoken to us, his word is a pillar of light and a clash of thunder, through which we have come to know the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Advent and the Carpenter. Joseph felt anger, fear, and relief altogether upon Mary's return. She should not have put herself in harm's way by traveling alone. He felt hurt, too, that she hadn't trusted him enough to tell him of the journey. Even now, she offered no explanations. Part of the man guessed that it was her own affair. Part felt sad that she would conceal something so important from him. But the very sadness prevented him from asking. It wasn't his nature to demand. Moreover, if he had attempted to open the topic at all, between his first word and his second, Mary would have produced a whole speech. Then he noticed that Mary was not the same as she had been at their betrothal. She spoke less. Her eyes had become strange, as if gazing away from the world. Her face had taken on a high flushed color. It was growing rounder. She seemed to him radiantly lovely, changed, not girlish, but gathering on her frame a woman's softer loveliness. Then, during one particularly long hug, Joseph felt several physical changes that had been hidden from his eyes before. Her breasts had grown large and proud. Her body was generally rounder. And between the wings of Mary's hips, a tough lump had formed, pressing back upon the man who hugged her. Joseph stepped back. He searched her face. She was beaming, her dark brows raised so high, her teeth blinding white, her eyes peering out of mystery. But her face was fuller, her lips thicker. With uncharacteristic boldness, Joseph reached and placed his hand upon her abdomen. Mary stopped smiling. She watched now with thin lines of fright. Yes, there was a baby in Mary's womb. Joseph took his hand back. Silently, he walked away through the village to his home. He went inside and lay down upon his floor and hid his face in the crook of his arm and began to weep. Joseph's mind was filled with only one thought. That night, before he went to bed, he brought out his writing instruments and a precious page of parchment. Carefully, stroking every letter with painful precision, he wrote formal words on the parchment. They granted Mary release from the contracts of betrothal. They mentioned reasons of ritual impurities, mild causes, but legal ones nonetheless. They did not mention adultery. Joseph could not write adultery. He could not lay upon Mary, whom he loved, whom he could not stop loving, public accusations of adultery. His mind was very clear that night. Tomorrow he would find two witnesses and in their presence give this document to Mary personally. Now he unrolled his sleeping pallet and laid down and mercifully fell asleep. While Joseph was sleeping on his decision to divorce Mary, the voice of an angel called to him in a dream.
Joseph, son of David, you should not fear to take Mary home as your wife, because the infant conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and when she does, you must call his name Jesus, since he will save his people from their sins.
Why? What? How? The questions raced through Joseph's thoughts. A fear of floods, hopes, doubts, and dreams rattled within his heart. Chaos and cacophony. But quietly and forcefully, the angel spoke again, and that voice was the one that settled Joseph.
God is fulfilling prophecies, Joseph. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel.
When Joseph woke up, he moved more quickly and lightly than he had in years. He made a fire of dry sticks and burned the parchment in its flames. He washed himself, brushed and brushed his beard. He oiled his hair and donned his one clean tunic and his Sabbath robe. Then fairly ran through the streets to the home of Jehoiachin, Mary's father, and knocked on the door. There was wailing inside the house, a voice filled with outrage and pain.
How could you bring such disgrace on our...
Hearing that, Joseph made a fist and pounded on the door with all his might.
Jehoiachin, open your door.
The house became still. No one spoke. No one moved.
Jehoiachin, open this door.
Joseph roared.
Go away.
It was Joachim's voice, whining piteously.
Go away and leave us alone.
Joseph roared only louder.
No, I will not leave until we've set the day for my wedding to your daughter.
The little house seemed altogether deserted after that. So long did the silence last. Then Jehoiachin called softly.
Joseph? Do you know that Mary is with child?
Yes, I know.
And Mary, my daughter, says that you are not the father.
She's right. I am not the father.
The new wooden door that Joseph had hung opened a crack, and a tiny eye peered out.
And you wish to marry her anyway?
Yes, I do.
Jehoiachin threw open the door and burst into tears.
I am overcome with happiness.
Jehoiachin spread out his arms and moved toward his son-in-law, but Joseph saw only one figure. Mary was gazing out at him, hesitating, chewing her bottom lip. Oh, the worry in her features broke his heart. He couldn't help himself. He ran past Jehoiachin and gathered Mary into his arms and held her tightly to his body.
I love you.
He whispered in her ear.
Don't cry. Don't cry. I love you, Mary, and I know who is sleeping in you, and I will love him too. It is well. All is well. I know what God is doing, and I love you.
The account of Joseph and the advent as told by the carpenter assures us, as with the husband of Mary, so too with us, our God has not left us in the dark. Though perhaps no angel has visited your home, nor appeared to you in a dream, our God has, through his voice, his word, told us what he is doing. And like Joseph, we can but respond, I will love him too.